For Amazon, it's called When Your Book Gets Dungeoned. And that sounds sexy, and it's not.
It does,
right? They should have picked, like...
Daddy Bezos just put me in the dungeon.
It sounds like
shake your ass in the air, be like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
The name of it should be Amazon Shit All Over Me and My Hard Work. No, so when your book
gets... Which you also can't do in an erotica.
Not on Amazon, anyway.
What are you going to do, Daddy Bezos? Are you going to not sell my book? Not sell my book so hard, please.
But first, a word from our sponsors.
Welcome to the Man Whore Podcast.
Shout out to Molly, to Tina, to Mary Jane, to Captain Cody, and to all the people with names that are slang for drugs. This is Billy Presida, and you are listening to the Man Whore Podcast. Some of you might be thinking, oh, I can't believe I'm about to listen to a Man Whore Podcast. Well, you better believe it, sweetie. Been bringing sex-positive conversations to you every Wednesday for over 10 years now. That feels nice to say. What's up? This week on the show, I have got on erotic author Thea Landon. She has a new book out now called The Hummingbird and the Hawk, and we were brought together by pegging. Before I say more on that, the Naked Comedy Show tickets are still available for this Friday's lineups. I got two killer shows, 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock at the Hacienda in Bushwick. Get $5 off your tickets when you use code BRINGATOWEL, because if you are going to get naked in the audience, you should sit on a towel. We also are selling towels. It's okay if you forget one. Hope to see y'all there. The Man Whore Podcast is officially available ad-free for just $3 a month on Patreon. A few of you heeded my words and slipped in before the price got raised. Good for you. The rest of you, $3 a month, that gives you access to an ad-free version of the show every week. You also enjoy some benefits over on Discord to private channels, special events. The Fan Whore Appreciation Moment gives you a shout-out for supporting the pod, so I want to say thank you so very much to VV. Audit me, Daddy. Get in line behind Bezos. Thanks for becoming a member. Thanks for supporting the show. No more weird commercials for a casino/medical health system in my area. Forgo those for oh so little at patreon.com/manwhorepodcast. That's Patreon, patreon.com/manwhorepodcast. As many of you know, I tend to MC speed dating events as a little side hustle till more of you are on the fucking Patreon. And I always tell the people to, you know, open strong, close strong, particularly opening strong. I always tell all of them, I said, if I hear one person ask, how was your day? I'll give you a hint. It was good. Yours was also good. Or it was less good because you missed the train. Wasted time, wasted a question. I mean, if you only have like 3, maybe 4 or 5 minutes per date, don't waste it with the small talk nonsense that doesn't lead anywhere. So when I hosted a speed dating event last week, I was startled to hear that there was a guy who was going around and he only had two questions for everybody. He only had two questions. And the two questions were, have you read the Bible? And do you work out? Of all the messages to take away from the symbol of Jesus Christ being, you know, hanging up there on the crucifix, of all the lessons to take from that, this guy looked up at him while he's on his knees praying and thinks, yo, Jesus is way jacked, bro. The pairing of those two questions. And I want to make fun of the guy, but I mean, this is kind of good speed dating behavior. He knows what he wants. He knows what's important to him. He's getting it out the way early. I mean, hell, sometimes I'll even wear a t-shirt that gives you the conversation starter. About a month ago, I wore my pegging t-shirt. And if you're new to the program, I have a t-shirt I sell at manwhorepod.com. It says, I'm saving pegging for marriage. Multiple people I could overhear pointing at my shirt. Oh, do you think that shirt's funny? Oh, are you into pegging? Oh, do you know what pegging is? Oh my gosh, could someone please explain what pegging is to me? Wow, do you think it's like appropriate for a speed dating host to wear such a sexualized shirt to a speed dating event where he's supposed to act in a semi-professional manner, even though he said the word fuck a lot in his opening monologue? All fine questions to get going with. I'm doing my part. But I did it too well, apparently, because somebody took a picture of me at a speeding dating event last month, and then he made a silly fucking little meme out of it. I think the thing had 100,000 likes before anyone, realized, oh, that's Billy. Let me tag this guy. And I log on to Twitter, and somebody, thank you. I forget who you were, but thank you. You saw this week's guest, Thea Landon, post and share this meme. And was like, actually, hey, that's Billy Presida, which connected us. Turns out she don't live too far away. And so we met up at my mom's house in New Jersey to do an episode of the show. And not only do we learn more about, you know, fan fiction and, you know, how to implement consent and safer sex and erotica, but we also hear about the trials, the tribulations, the struggles, and the necessity of selling erotica on Amazon. And at the end of this conversation, you'll hear her do a little reading of an excerpt from her new book. So we're going to do some ads, which if you go join my Patreon, you will never have to listen to again. But for the rest of you, without the $3, consider the Ford F-150, because the F stands for fuck. And then Thea Landon. Enjoy ad-free episodes at patreon.com/manwhorepodcast.
We'll keep it vague for now.
Okay.
I work in the legal field. No, it's fine. You're going to have this reaction. I'm like, okay, how should I start this? Anyway, his name came up in a deposition, but he wasn't a named party, and he didn't do anything bad. It's just like, oh, a client of mine, Billy Presida, referred this to who, that, whatever. So when I first learned your name, I'm like, this sounds really familiar. I go back into my files, because just a couple months ago, I'm like, oh, okay. And then finally I figured out it wasn't you, it was your father, I'm assuming.
Yeah, no, it sounds like that. Not a lot of Billy Presida is out here. But you are an erotica writer.
I am. All the dirty words.
and all of their synonyms.
Yes, I have several erotic, I should know the plural of this if I claim I'm a writer. Thesauri. I have more than one thesaurus. I bookmarked one thesaurus and then another and then another.
Uh-huh.
There we go. See, I fixed that. So yes, I have several of them bookmarked because, yeah, you got to mix things up. You can't just say cock all the time, even though it's a really good, you know, firm word.
Yeah. Fellas, take note. Get some synonyms under your bag.
Yes.
You can't just keep switching between dick and cock and cock and dick.
Exactly.
And then I throw a penis in there. I go like, that sounds
clinical.
So,
yeah. It's like you ever read a scene and someone said, and then he did this to my vagina. Like, oh, are you at a doctor's office right now? That's sad.
Like, I think you should only use penis to say when you're talking about like the flaccid version of this penis.
Yes.
And then I was like, that's okay. But when it was like, yeah, and then I took his penis in my mouth. And I'm like, is this your first penis in your mouth?
I mean, it could be. I mean, I personally don't really like writing virgin works. I like people to have a little more experience under their belt. Mm-hmm. Or, I don't know, I feel like it's awkward. But yeah, who knows? It could have been the first penis in her mouth.
And how long have you been doing erotica?
Oh, gosh. Well, my very first book was published in 2012, which feels like a million years ago. And then it was republished last year. So, yeah.
Did you update it for pronouns? Is that...
No, it was with a small indie press, and they shut down in 2020, and all of the rights reverted back to me. And I said, okay, well, what am I going to do with this? Now, it was my very first book, and while some of my friends have been nice to me, I went back and I looked at it. I'm like, oh no, this is shit. This is terrible. I mean, on one hand, I guess it's so great that I grew as a writer, but I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh, God, what was I thinking? This is terrible. So
yeah, don't go listen to episode one of the Man of War podcast, please.
Don't go look at my early tweets or Instagram reels or whatever else I do on the internet.
And what made you get into that in the first place?
Where does every writer start? Fanfic. Okay. Nerdy fanfic. And yeah, The sexy ones are popular.
Well, then we'll even go further. Then where's your introduction to nerdy, sometimes sexual fanfic?
I'm such a nerd. So you're probably sitting here thinking, oh, what a normal looking, well put together soccer mom. No, I'm a nerd. I'm okay. A big nerd.
Be a nerd. So, nerds
I'm
welcome.
I'm such a nerd. Okay. So the old Sega Master System and Sega Genesis series, Phantasy Star, that was my first love with games.
Fantasy Star?
Fantasy Star. And it's with a PH, too, because we have to be cool in Japanese.
But what was
it? Oh, it's sci-fi, fantasy.
Is it a game?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Okay.
The very first game was on the Sega Master System, because I am an old person. Yeah. And then the next three were on the Genesis. And then they came out with online versions, some I played with more than others. But okay. Yeah, when I was in middle school and high school, those were my games. I loved those games. And then I got older, it's like, cool, let's make the characters fuck. And that was well received. So I figured, oh, I guess I'm good at that kind of writing. And eventually that turned into, let me see if I can write something with my own plot and characters.
What was your introduction to fanfic?
The Phantasy Star series had its own separate site, because this might have even been before the days of fanfiction.net.
Okay.
I think that's it, which came up later. So like, if you were a fan of anything, you really kind of had to search different fan sites. It wasn't all assembled together like fanfiction.net. Now it's Archive of Our Own or AO3. So I did the fantasy.
Is AO3 Archive of Our Own, or is that
yes.
a separate one? Okay, that,
yes.
is that what that means?
Yeah.
AO3?
Of Our Own. Yes.
Okay.
Oh, did we just have a learning moment?
Yeah, I'm so. I don't know this fucking world, but I have a
That's
lot
fine.
Of fans who are like really in the fanfiction and erotica.
Are they writing fanfiction about you?
That's a great question.
You need to look now.
Do any of you have an answer for that? So you stumbled upon that through this video game you were really into.
Eventually, yes. Like okay. I said, way back in the day, for us old people, you had to go to your individual fan site. So there was a Phantasy Star fan site. Again, remember, I prefaced this with, I'm a giant nerd. There was a stretch of time where I was writing Law and Order fan fiction, Chung Chung, and there was a separate... You're laughing at me. Why are you laughing at me? It's
no,
fine. I get it a lot.
No, just, I've never heard of Law and Order fan fiction
there
before.
There was a whole website, like an online magazine dedicated to it.
Do you remember what it was called?
Oh, shoot. No, I don't. I bet I have it, though, in like my old college email, you know, the read receipts for submitting to them.
Do you remember any of like any particular, like anything you wrote that was any of that?
Well, we know that. Oh, are you a Law and Order fan? Do you know the
no,
characters?
No, but I'm sure that they will value whatever the words you
okay,
say.
Okay, well, there was a whole thing with the character Jack McCoy always sleeping with his younger female assistants.
Okay.
So I did a few of those. Those were fun. But reading, the gay fanfic is still what sells and what sold, not really sold because there was no money involved, but like 20 years ago, if there were two male characters on the show, you can guarantee that someone wrote about them having sex on a desk.
That's fascinating.
Right?
But like, what is it for you to like be into something, whether it's this video game or Law and Order, and to like eroticize it? Because like, I'm really into the NFL, and I've never like created some sort of like sexy plot that like might happen like back in the locker room.
Well, first of all, the NFL is in fiction. It's not like it's wrestling.
Right.
And I think with any sort of fiction, games, movies, TV shows, whatever, it's like you see two characters and you want them to be together, but, you know, the creators of whatever it is, they aren't going to listen to you. And sometimes if they do listen to you, then it turns out like garbage. So I think that's where a lot of the fanfic comes from. They see these two characters that they really, really, really want to bone. And no one else is going to do it, so they have to take matters into their own hands.
And that's the attitude to do that. And you were like, what, college, what you say, when you were submitting this stuff?
The really spicy, explicit ones? Yeah, I started that in college. See, I was a good girl.
What was your favorite? And so what became like your favorite realm of fan fiction? Like, what was your favorite show to do that with?
Not show, but back to video games, because that's what I do. I don't know if you've played any of the BioWare games. Mm-mm. I am a big Dragon Age and Mass Effect fan, and those fans are thirsty. They are all about the sexy fanfic, especially Mass Effect, when you have different species. You know, it's like, we fucked everything there is to fuck on Earth. Let's try aliens next.
And would that carry over into like private fantasies that you would have?
Me personally, no. But I have been like, people on Etsy are making a killing with their, like, well, they can't say what fandom it's from for copyright reasons, but you know, an alien species, which is very much like this one from Mass Effect. Here's a dildo, you know, like I imagine it would be shaped like, because obviously they don't show that in the game yet.
Not yet.
They're getting there. Again, I started playing these games when they first, I think the first of the series were like 2008, 2010-ish. Yeah. And the last Mass Effect game that came out, Mass Effect 4, was a couple years ago. I'm like, oh, that is pornography happening on my screen, and I am not opposed to it. I'm okay with it. I'm just not expecting it. But wow, that is where their entire animation budget went.
And tentacle porn is like all the rage.
Oh,
right,
it is
now.
All the rage. Yes.
People love that shit.
They do.
So how did one like really start selling erotica? Like, because all that fan fiction was like freely available.
Right.
And now we're talking about like turning it into commerce. What's that process like? Where do you sell erotica?
At the very beginning, I decided I didn't want to go down the self-publishing route right away, because what did I know about anything? And the answer is not much. And I still claim I don't know much, but maybe a little bit more. My first book that I wrote that was not fan fiction, not stealing other people's stuff, I submitted to a few smaller indie publishers. One of them sent me an offer. I was assigned an editor work with, which was the greatest thing ever, because she kicked my ass, which is what I needed. It's like, this is too many comma splices. This is too many adverbs. This. Again, I needed that ass kicking. And I worked with them. I worked with another smaller indie publisher who was great. But now I think I'm far enough along. I want all the control.
Yeah.
I want to be in charge of the release date, the cover art, the formatting, the everything to go along with it. So I don't know if I would recommend self-pubbing for someone who's just starting out, since it's good to have another set of eyes on the work.
Aside from the business of it, are there like certain trends you see that change of like what the people are into or what they want?
Yes. Let's see.
Like, it makes me think about like when like girls on HBO, they show one ass-eating scene. Now, like, everyone's eating ass now, right? Broad City does a pegging scene. It's like, everyone's selling cute Ilana Glazer, you know, strap-ons. Like, it's...
That I haven't noticed, though, to be fair. Maybe I haven't looked in the right places. But genres and tropes, definitely. Like, we were talking about fanfic before. Everyone always talks about how 50 Shades of Grey was Twilight fanfiction. And we don't need to go into the quality there, because... Look, she made a fortune, and good for her for doing so. But for a while, vampires were all the rage. Right. And werewolves are okay. Yeah, there was some werewolf stuff going on, too. Now I'm sure you've heard Romantasy, which is fantasy romance. I just got a newsletter from one of the services I'm signed up for. It is one of the hottest Amazon keywords right now, Romantasy. If it's just fantasy, you know, you have your wizards and your dragons and your magic and your... court of people who are backstabbing each other to get to the throne. And all that is still there. They're just fucking on the page.
We did an episode like a couple years back that was like all on erotica. And I had a bunch of different authors. But apparently I learned there was a difference between like erotica, erotic fiction, and like romance novels.
Yes.
And so like the romanticies feels like it's sounding like the in-between.
The erotic romance, probably. People will argue with you all day over which one's what, and I don't claim to have the answers, and I also don't really feel like arguing with people over this particular topic. But generally, erotic romance, if you could take the sex out of it and it's still the same story, that's why you put the romance in there. Erotica is... if you take the sex out of the story, you really have nothing left. And I would say I write both of them. I do have some erotic romances where it's like, okay, could you argue that this sex scene's gratuitous? Probably. Does it need to be there? Probably not. Did I have fun while writing it? Of course I did. And people appreciate that. And then I have others out there. Like my most recent one, I think I did the math. It's 10 chapters plus a prologue and epilogue. And out of those 10 chapters, 6 of them have sex scenes. I'm like, oh, maybe I went overboard a little bit in that
one. Is that overboard, though?
No, it's not. I'm just...
I would imagine... You know,
I'm trying to be coy here. I'm like, no, it's all sex all the time. Go read it, please. But
well, no, I figured like every chapter would need to have at least like a hand stuff going on. Because I think erotica, I don't know.
I feel like with 10 chapters, though, you need a little bit of a plot, just a tiny bit to keep things moving along. You're like, because, you know, chapter one, they fucked this way. Chapter two, they fucked that way. Mm-hmm. Chapter three, they fucked that way over there. Chapter four, they're on the balcony. Why not? You need something a little more than that to keep people hooked.
Well, because like I used to read like back in the day, like when I was in college and high school, I would read Literotica a lot, or like any or like any sort of like erotica site like that. Mm-hmm. There was like another one called MC Stories, which is all just mind control.
Yes, and then I am familiar with both those sites.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This basement saw a lot of mcstories.com. There's that dash in the middle always tripped me up. And so, but there was like, I like the ones that had enough plot that I knew the why we were doing this, right? Mm. It's like, there's someone put something in the water and now this whole town is fucking. I need that.
Yes.
And I need to know what the relationship, I need to know the delta. I need what was this neighbor's relationship before it went in the water? And now I know what it is after. Like, I always appreciated that. But like, there was still some, you know, a lot like action every X hundred words or so. So, but I've never like read like a whole book of erotica.
Okay.
What does it do for you that other pornographic material doesn't?
Again, as we said, you need to have a plot going. And I'll be perfectly candid with you here. As a reader, sometimes I want that whole plot to move things along. Like, give me the dragons, you know, setting each other on fire, and then someone go fucks one of them. Great. There are other times, depending on what kind of mood I'm in, I just go right to Amazon, put in whatever in particular I'm looking for, like just throwing out an example, age gap romance. Okay, this one's only 30 pages long. I don't think I'm getting a lot of plot here, but you know what? This is what I'm in the mood for today. Just, you know, get something out of the way in 10 minutes. Let's go for it. And that's what Kindle Unlimited is for, where you can read them for free with your subscription.
But like, you know, but what is it that the written word does for you that say like visual depictions don't?
I think with any sort of book, you can sort of imagine the action as it's happening, imagining yourself in place of one of the characters, maybe. In general, when you're writing, and this doesn't have to do with erotica, this is just good book writing advice. Every scene or chapter, however you want to break it down, you have one point of view character. Don't say, you know, how this character is feeling in their head in one paragraph and then immediately jump to another. It's called head hopping. It's annoying. People look down on it these days. Don't do it. Okay. So in this old blog post of mine, I wrote something about point of view characters. First, I thought there would be a difference men versus women. And then,
depending on the scene,
this is very true. And then I realized the trend that emerged. Look at me sounding all fancy. The trend that emerged was usually the point of view character was the less dominant of the pair, regardless of gender, which made me think when people are reading, I guess, and again, mileage can vary. This is all subjective. If they're reading and they're imagining themselves in the point of view character's point of view, I guess it's more enjoyable to read about things being done to that character or the reader versus having that character doing the doing, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm not like a traditional dominant, but you don't want my POV if I was being the dominant one and if I was switching it up and doing that, because it'd be me constantly going like, oh God, I hope I'm not hurting there. Ah, oh, shit, I hope this is the right level of hair pull. You know, that's not as sexy.
You can make it work, though.
They'd be like, oh, I can't masturbate to this man being so nervous.
But again, mileage varies. And you can switch it around. And I have written from the point of view of someone more dominant. Maybe not exactly like, oh, did I pull her hair the exact right amount? But more of, okay, let's see, how am I going to phrase this? I guess women all, generalize. I guess readers also wouldn't mind reading the whole dominant thing, like, oh, she drives me so crazy, I just can't control myself, let me pound her into this mattress or whatever the case may be, when I'm not just making it up on the spot. But you know what? Any level there's bound to be readers out there. Like, sometimes I'm editing something, I'm looking over what I wrote, I said, is there enough explicit consent in here? Am I skirting the line a little bit? And I know there would be readers who'd be like, oh no, that's way too tame.
Right.
Pull out all the stops.
Please,
go crazy.
Please, less consent. Yes. Right? Which I mean, like, have you written rape scenes in any of your
erotica? I have not. I'm a firm believer of enthusiastic consent, which can take a lot of different forms. I mean, you're not... Not in every scene, you're not going to have them sit down like we're sitting down here, you know, with a contract of, say, you can do this on this date, this on that date, do this but not that. But again, the enthusiasm, making sure the other person's into it. For me personally, yeah, that's what I like to write. And again, I know there are writers who take it somewhere else, and that's fine, and they have the audiences, but I feel better when I know both fictional people are into it.
What sort of stuff do you do to keep the spice of an encounter spicy, but also give a little drops of, hey, and these are reasons why that even non-verbally they could tell that everything's on board?
Well, another debate in the erotica writing community is birth control and safe sex practices.
I was next going to also ask about depiction of condoms or not. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a whole spectrum. There are some people who say erotica is fantasy. It's not necessary. You don't need to include that. If you're submitting to a publisher, a lot of times they will even put right in the submission guidelines, you need to deal with safe sex practices on the page. And I can see both sides. For me, I like to see it sort of as a challenge. I mean, if you can't make the act of unrolling a condom sexy as a writer, do a better job. Mm-hmm. There's definitely ways of doing it, building the tension, or hell, he just did it really fast and dove right in. When again, there's options there.
You could even be writing about like a character's headspace, like what she's... what or whoever the character is, what they're thinking about. Mm-hmm. Like, and as he ripped open the gold foil, then here's all these thoughts in my head, and then you can just get into it. And you never said the word condom.
And I know, you know, my friends and I, what do we say? A really good word, the crinkle of the condom wrapper.
Okay.
No, uncrinkling. I did that out of order, but you know where I was going with
it. No, crinkle's a good word. Yeah, we don't use it enough.
No. And yeah, and then you unroll it down the shaft slowly.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I mean, porn has a similar debate that goes on. I mean, there's some performers who they exclusively do condom scenes. Mm-hmm. And right, it's like, so there is an element of trying to make that look sexy, or sometimes it's not even making it look sexy. It's just, it's a thing that's there and like deal with it, type, you know, whatever. But yeah, like, I mean, do you use that like in someone's head? Is it dialogue in the characters?
It can go either way.
Right, like, before he goes in, be like, are you on birth control? And he's like, he's like kind of sweating a little bit, be like, we good? I mean, I would imagine like the dialogue you'll use between characters negotiating safer sex, even if real quickly, would be a little bit sexier than what I think the reality is, which is a lot of people making eye contact going, so like, we good? And be like, yeah, I'm clean. But no one knows what these words mean to each other. So like, so we're good, right? It's like, yeah, I'm clean. All right, I'm just going to put my dick in here.
I've handled it in a number of different ways. One book that I wrote, it's... All right. So when I'm reading, I actually love reading murder mysteries. That's my favorite genre.
Wait, murder mystery erotica?
No, just murder mysteries. Usually they're separate, but if I can find a good combination, I am there.
I mean, so, I think we found like a something to maybe tackle for the next book.
I did write one.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a couple years ago. I knew I'm not smart enough to write a really good, like, twisty, thrilling murder mystery. I am not Agatha Christie. I'm like, well, what if I wrote it as a romance, and as long as people are fucking at the end, it doesn't matter how good the mystery part is. So the setup for this is the main character gets sucked into going to one of those cheesy murder mystery weekends at the secluded mansion. Mm-hmm. Except, you know, oh, there's a storm that's washed out the road and killed the cell tower, and now people are dying one by one for real. So, you know, she made eye contact with the love interest early on. You know, they probably touched hands at the table or some shit like that. And yes, of course, they fuck by the end, even though she's not really sure whether or not he's the murderer. And I'm not going to spoil that part. So they're in his room. She's on his bed, so on and so forth. And I did include a little bit of dialogue where, you know, he's kind of sheepish about it and like reaches into his suitcase and pulls out the box of condoms. He's like, yeah, I guess I was sort of optimistic about this weekend. But hey, it worked out, dude.
Yeah. And boom, now it's taken care of.
Exactly.
We've done the thing.
Right. It was in character. We established no one's getting pregnant or getting a disease, regardless of whether or not they die the next day at the hands of the killer or not. But I felt good about my decisions there.
And as they both breathed their last breath, they realized, we didn't need to use that condom, did we? Lost
what a waste. But then they're dead and it's okay. And they don't need to worry about their finances.
But but it sounds like that's a hotly debated thing. So, like, I mean, when you read erotica, what role does that play into you being turned on by it or not?
My Number one hated, I don't know if we're going to call it a plot device or a trope or what, but what I hate, despise. Am I emphasizing this enough about my strong feelings? Accidental pregnancy.
Okay.
Fucking hate it. Babies are not sexy. It's like, have you spent time with a baby? Not sexy. So there was one book I read, and this is going back a number of years, so I don't remember the title off the top of my head. And I knew where it was going. I'm like, oh, she's going to get pregnant, and she's not going to be happy. Because, you know, she's like, oh, I don't want kids now. Like, there was, like, the writer went out of her way.
We use the term foreshadowing. If we all took sixth grade English.
That's, yes, fancy. Foreshadowing.
I took that word.
Of the accidental pregnancy, which really pissed me the fuck off, and I almost threw the Kindle across the room. There was this whole weird thing where, like, she was sick, she had the flu, she threw up that morning and didn't know if her birth control pill was in the vomit, which also not sexy. Why are we doing this? It's not my book. And then even though she was, like, vomiting that morning because of the flu, the two guys she was in a relationship with, because that's the kind of book I chose to read, they convinced her to fuck them anyway, even though, like, 3 hours earlier she was vomiting up her birth control pill. But now, okay, fine, like, you know, rail me on the table. And as soon as I read the bit about her vomiting up the birth control pill, no, she's going to get pregnant. She probably even said something like, I really don't want to get pregnant right now. And then she goes and fucking does it anyway. And it bothered me so much. So I'm telling you right now, you will never find an accidental pregnancy in any of my books. And if it means I have to be really specific about pills, condoms, whatever, sure, because we are not having unplanned babies at the end of my books.
So your own writing is usually going to be something that turns you on. It's not always just, this is what I know is going to be received well.
Yes and no. There are some particular acts where I am personally not a fan, but if it fits in the story and it makes sense for the characters, yeah, sure. I'll take one for the team and do some research and read those stories.
Okay. No, honey, I'm watching research videos. Please. No, that's all.
I'm like, you know, buying the next Kindle book. Like, is this a tax deduction? It might be.
Do you find inspiration from your experiences, or do you find, like, maybe you're finding more experience from your fantasies that have not been realized?
Probably more the fantasy level. Mm. I mean, okay, I've been married for 12 years now.
I don't want to make assumptions about
marriage. I know.
I go to a lot of play parties where we're like, yeah, no, we got a babysitter tonight. You know, so I don't know.
More power to them. No, I would say definitely more fantasies. And again, I mean, if you're talking about fantasy specifically, unfortunately, the technology is not quite there yet for us to be fucking dragon shapeshifters.
I have my fingers crossed for you.
Right?
But until then, I mean, but when I meant fantasies, I meant, I think, a little bit more like fantasies of things maybe one would want to do, things we fantasize about. I think, and maybe this is an unfair assumption of me, but I gotta imagine, like, a lot of moms out there reading erotica, reading erotic fiction, in a little bit of a sense of wish I could go out and get something that now in this sometimes monogamous married commitment I'm in, I cannot go forth and actualize. I got to imagine that, like, erotica for many serves as some sort of conduit for that. And so that's why I was a little curious if there's, like, any element of, like, that's a thing I'm probably never going to do now at this point. So let me put into these words as a way to make it as real as it's ever going to be for me. If that made sense.
It did make sense. I'm just trying to think. Yeah. I mean, as we all say when we're writing, there's probably a little piece of me in every single one of the characters I created, for better or worse. And yeah, maybe some more than others. I mean, I have a book out there where some of my friends were like, is that you? That's you. I'm like, no, it's not completely me. Maybe a little bit.
Maybe a little bit.
But then other ones, no, it's just a world apart for who I am as a person. But again, you know, all the drawing on your life experience bullshit that makes a good book, I guess, and put it in there somewhere about the emotions, the feeling. I mean, yes, I will admit to you here on your podcast, I have had sex before. I know what it's like. So I can incorporate that into my books. I don't have to do research about the actual physics of it.
Sure, but there's, like, a lot of, you know, sex acts that are, you know, can be out there. And then you, when you say, well, look, you know, I've been married for a bit of a time, you know, what I think I'm supposed to take from that is, like, look, yeah, there's a lot, I've been with this guy a long time, and so there are definitely some things I've not gone to do. When you realize, like, I'm with the person who I want to have kids with, I want to build a life with, and monogamy is probably involved in that, in your head, it was there a little bit of a, you had to give a little baby funeral for some sexual fantasies that you thought maybe you were going to get to?
Honestly, no. I mean, again, I realize the title of the podcast I'm on right now and where it came from. I had my fun in my early 20s. I didn't go crazy, but I had my fun. So, yes, when I got married, there wasn't any sort of sense of, oh, no, now I'll never be able to do X, Y, Z. All right, I'm good. Huh? I am never going to be the whole sultry, seductive, mysterious type. Again, we were talking about makeup before, too. Like, I don't know how to do my own eyeliner. Like, my hair's blonde, and but, you know, it's fun. I guess in some ways, that is a little bit of a fantasy for me. Like, I get to be someone else. I get to craft this whole persona for myself. People only know what I'm willing to share with them. And that's a little fun. A little, you know, break from the monotony of making the kids breakfast in the morning and packing snacks. And thank God the school district is paying for lunch now, so I don't have to have that argument every single freaking week when I go grocery shopping. It's good to have a spectrum of experiences.
Does your writing ever inspire anything with the husband? Does he ever maybe read something and go like, you know, we could try that if you want to?
It's funny. People don't believe him when he says this. He's never read. No, he is an avid reader. He loves reading. He reads every night. He doesn't read my books. Yeah. He's like, oh, I don't like romance. Okay. Sure. I'm not mad about it. Okay. So as other people read them, because he would probably, you know, insist on reading them for free, and I got to be making the money. So,
you know, when we were talking before, like what turns you off, and you were like, oh, accidental pregnancy as a trope. Are there any other devices or tropes that happen, like in erotica, where you're just like, couldn't be me, hate this, I'm putting it down?
I do not find the inclusion of the word cervix to be sexy. And they're like, oh, he was so big, he rammed right against my cervix. Okay,
that feels like a man wrote it.
Maybe. I've read it by women, too. Or even really? Not the whole, like, ramming thing, because I think most
Are we women... sure, though? I've interviewed a couple of erotica authers with female names that were actually
one
dudes.
One is someone I am acquainted with in the erotica writing spheres. The other is, you know, when he comes inside her, oh, and he's sprayed cum all over my cervix. That's a little better, and like it won't make me put down the book, but at the same time, like, I don't love that visual.
I don't even know if that's like the right way to describe that visual, but I'm also a dumb man. Is it? Do I spray it onto the cervix? I felt like it was more of a go-in.
Maybe like, yeah, you spray it all over the place and the cervix is there. But I know it's just not, yeah. I'm not a fan of that.
I feel like I would always, I would be distracted if something like felt like it was just anatomically wrong or like just like didn't make the most sense, right? Oh, please. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I have another one, too.
Oh, yeah.
And this is another one.
You can interrupt me. They would love that. They'd love anyone who steps to Billy. There's like, yes, please shut that fucker up. Like,
no, this is not anatomically incorrect, but it's another one that bothers me. And I'm very, very careful of this in my own writing. Yeah. If there is anal play involved, you got to be careful. You're not taking the same finger, toy, dick, whatever, out of an ass and putting it in a vagina. Don't do that. It's bad.
Don't do it in real life either.
No, like, I mean, exactly. Don't do it anywhere. So I think one scene I wrote, I was so explicit in a different way just because it bothers me so much. And with his right hand, he did this. And with his left hand, he did this. I want my readers to know there is no cross-contamination going on here.
He got up real quick and washed his hands.
That too.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's
He washed everything just to be on the safe side.
Truly? Who's going dick? I mean, look, there is that one scene of Clerks too, where, like, you never go dick in mouth, dick, ass to mouth. And it's like maybe special occasion. Okay, but you definitely don't go dick the pussy, ass the pussy. No.
You cannot.
Do not do that.
I guess there's some people who the risk, the thrill, the danger of it gets them off. No, I would be sitting there thinking the whole time, like, all right, what's going to happen to me?
That's what the thing with the condom stuff, like, it freaks me out. Because, like, I get pretty careful with that. I'm not the type... Like, I'll talk to people and they'll say, well, you know, I'm really strict with condoms, but accidents happen. No, they don't.
No.
I don't understand what accident happened. It's oh, you don't have a condom. I guess we're not doing that thing. So it's, I mean, look.
And how hard is it to get a condom these days?
Yeah,
you can go anywhere and get a condom.
I've had slip-ups of judgment. I don't call them accidents. There was no accident.
I fucked up, fingers crossed.
We made a poor decision. Like, while I'm in there, I have a hard time enjoying it because in my head, mm-hmm. I'm going, oh, God, I really hope, like, I judged her character well. Right. Like, I really...
I'm going to get a disease from this. Not sexy.
It's like when she says, like, no, I'm just slipping up with you. I don't normally do this. Like, do I really believe her? Like,
no, don't believe her.
There's a lot of that at play.
That practice line came out really smoothly, didn't it?
Yeah, right? And so I'm just... So that's what would also distract me in, like, reading something like that in the same way of that.
Where was that hand 5 paragraphs ago? I'm going to flip back and look. This is why I can't do audiobooks. I need to know.
Yeah. I mean, like, in group sex scenes, like, are we putting the same hand to different people? Because at the orgies during the consent speech before, and they remind us, hey, do you also want to be mindful of which hand has been in who? And you may want to go wash hands in between hookups. And that's how I learned, because I'm a dumb boy. What the fuck do I know? I was like, oh, cool. I guess I gotta do that. You know, when you eat out Cheryl, you gotta go use Listerine before you go eat out Susan. That's
exactly
cleanliness, people.
And it's just polite.
Yes, it's polite. I remember, like, I was in a threesome once where, like, I asked, I mean, this was at a party, but, like, I was using condoms with both of them, and I asked once, just because of the orgy fucking talks that they give us, so I was like, when I went to go into another, I was like, would you like a different condom? They're like, no, you can just fuck me. I'm like, I'm sorry for thinking about
No, that was really nice of you to ask.
They were both, like, annoyed at me for being so precautious.
You mean once the condom is on, we don't talk about it, we, you know, establish that it's there, no one's getting sick or babied with this.
It doesn't hurt me either way, so I guess it's y'all's pussies or whatever.
No, I think it was the right thing to do for whatever that's worth. Maybe I'll write it into a book. Look at this polite dom who's asking all the women, you know, getting ready to hang off his dick if they want a new condom.
Oh, you switch that to, like, you know, at best a service top, and then you know, now you got me, little switchy fella. You mentioned Amazon earlier.
Yes.
Amazon, the big evil giant Bezos. What's the deal with Amazon and erotica, which I imagine is considered adult content, mm-hmm. considering a lot of the tech world treats adult content very, very poorly.
Yeah. So Amazon has, they will let your content on there for mm-hmm. the most part, unless you're really doing the no-nos of...
Yeah, what are their no-nos? I would love if I would just get rules.
Right.
But, like, Patreon wasn't cleared.
Bestiality, those are always the big ones.
Okay.
I don't know where they fall on the topic of urine off the top of my head.
Or like what their hyper specific rules are.
Right.
There's a graph for, like, the different, like, OnlyFans-esque platforms. Mm-hmm. Okay. There's, like, this graph that people, like, continuously update as they change their fucking rules.
Yeah.
And so each one is, like, has all these different sex acts. And then for each site, it says, like, which ones allow which. So when you get to water sports, it's not just as simple as water sports. It's a matter of, like, well, are they peeing on someone? Is someone drinking the pee? Exactly. Are they just peeing?
And they change the rules all the time.
Yeah.
So drinking the pee might be okay 1 week, and then the next week it's magically mm-hmm. not, and no one notified you, and boom, your books are gone.
You want to do the
not
drinking pee one, you know, you got to go publish on this other place. It's like,
that would be Smashwords.
But exactly, it's exactly that ridiculous. Like, you can't do certain things on OnlyFans, but you can do them on Loyal Fans, or just for fans. It's got to be this hyper specific, nuanced version of the thing. And it sounds exhausting to have to, like, professionally keep track of that.
For Amazon, it's called When Your Book Gets Dungeoned. And that sounds sexy, and it's not. It does,
sexy.
Right? They should have picked, like...
Daddy Bezos just put me in the dungeon.
It sounds like...
Shake your ass in the air. Be like, what
so
are you going
nice.
To do? What are you going to do?
The name of it should be Amazon Shit All Over Me and My Hard Work. No, so when your book
Which
gets...
Which you also can't do in an erotica.
Not on Amazon, anyway.
What are you going to do, Daddy Bezos? Are you going to not sell my book? Not sell my book so hard, please.
All right, so when your book is dungeoned, again, not fun, I know. This is going to be such a buzzkill now. I'm going to ruin your good mood. When your book is dungeoned, it will not show up in the search terms. And trying to figure out exactly why Amazon dungeoned your book mm-hmm. is just a fucking colossal waste of time and not a fun activity. I personally have never had a book dungeoned because I try to play it safe, but a lot of my friends have experienced this. So they have
Good
to go
use
into
of your legal background.
Right. Or just maybe not writing anything too scandalous. But if a book is dungeoned, usually it falls under one of three categories. Number one, the cover was...
too much.
Right. Again, the guidelines change all the time, and it's not like anyone from Amazon actually tells us what the guidelines are. They're just like, just throw dartboards at things and, you know, see what the problem is today. I believe they want everyone to be wearing pants.
In the cover.
In the cover. So, like, if you had a picture of, say, a woman wearing a bikini top and shorts, and you cropped it so the shorts are no longer showing, that could go either way. Mm. And then there's the blurb and the look inside. The blurb being, you know, sort of the description of the book. Not a
all these
summary.
Sexy words, look inside.
Right, look inside.
Look inside. However, my gaping asshole that I'm not allowed to describe due to rules. Oh, okay, sorry.
That's okay. So your blurb. If you have anything they deem...
My mother's upstairs, everybody.
Would you like to invite her downstairs to the room?
Look, I think I've said this before. I don't even know if she knows that I know. But like, my parents split up five different times before they got back together. And this is maybe a little funnier just because like you apparently know the big man or have heard his name before.
Heard him
when he would move out, we had the Playboy channel as a kid. And I knew I figured out the password. It was my parents' anniversary.
Oh yeah, all parents use the same passwords for everything all the time.
So I figured out but that was the same password to unlock Playboy Channel. Was the same password to unlock Comedy Central. And I just wanted to watch South Park. And little did I know that like, oh, I think I also want to watch Big Titties too. So
who doesn't?
Right, exactly. So, but he leaves, and then when he came back the first time, we didn't have Playboy Channel anymore. When he left the second time, we had Playboy Channel again. And every time he came back, we no longer played Playboy Channel when he left. And I think only like five, 6 years ago that I put together, okay, Mom. Oh, that now I get what's happening.
Good for her for, I guess, technologically finaggling that, though.
Knowing to cancel and then reorder.
Oh, I thought she just like put a block on it
something. No, she wasn't putting the block on it. It wasn't matter if we had the thing, but it was always parental control. But it was we either had the subscription for Playboy Channel, and then when he'd come back, we no longer had that so on the TV. So I'm like, one, I'm like, wait, does my dad like not watch porn? And then two, I'm like, oh, Mom clearly watches porn. Before we ended up on all that, we were talking about Daddy Bezos. Not selling my book so hard.
Put me in the dungeon.
So there's some shadow banning of sorts that happens over there. There's unwritten rules, it sounds like. There's nothing explicit they'll tell you?
Not really. Again, it's a guessing game. Like, if something winds up in the dungeon, what part was it and how can I fix it? And of course, you know, you contact customer service and you have to go through the layers of bots first. You have to keep escalating it until you... get to a person, and then you have to keep escalating it until you get to a better person who actually knows things, and it's a whole process, and you know.
Was it Smashwords you said is where you can sell the scat
stuff? I think so.
Great. They're like, I won't try to sell my scat stuff here. I'll go put it over here. Just tell me the rules. Right. It's like, makes me think of? George Carlin. I just wanted a list. Just give me a list of the words I can't say.
That's what I asked you before we even got started. Is there anything here I cannot say? And you told me I could say gangbang as much as my little heart desired. All gangbang all the time.
As many times as you like. It doesn't, it's all good. That's what I love about podcasting is podcasting doesn't have to deal with this. I can truly do whatever the fuck I want. And Apple's not going to take me down.
I think we're onto something though with like the pictures of soundwaves. You could have a gangbang soundwave. You could put it on a shirt. You could do the wall hang, put it on a mug.
Dirty Sounds as just like its own little, Etsy branch.
Yeah, just like one explosive cunt. It would be beautiful. Just hanging up there in your bedroom above the bed.
I love this. I'm nervous about how much I can't afford to love this idea too much.
You do pop-up shops and they don't charge you. You don't have to keep the stock on hand. I mean, I don't know how many of your pegging t-shirts you have.
I did buy 100 in 2018. I did get 100 of those and 100 of the Stay Slutty panties. So those do live in my trunk.
I have some plastic bins in my because, you know, of course I sell through Amazon, but I get the paperback copies for myself to right now I'm doing it through Etsy, sell through there. I'll be going to conventions later this year. Yeah. And again, it's a whole numbers game. Like, yes, I want to sell books and I have other merchandise too, but I also don't want it taking over my entire house.
So
right now I think I have like three plastic storage containers full of my book stuff.
So if you are in compliance with these imaginary rules that you do not know, otherwise... Amazon's a good spot? Like, that's the main... Is that where the bulk of erotica purchases come from?
Oh, I don't have that exact number. But we always, you know, we were kind of talking about this before, even though it's this big, disgusting monopoly that controls every aspect of our lives. And if we were saying this in my house, Amazon Alexa would be listening in on this and reporting about, is there an Alexa in here?
I don't think so. She's upstairs.
Tattling on us to Daddy Bezos.
Don't sell my book.
Oh my God.
No, don't. Alexa, no, you stop. Whore. Do it. Please sell it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't.
Lots of fun times in the Amazon dungeon. Except not really, because they screw authors over. I was going somewhere with this.
Wait, well, I think what we're generally talking about is screwing authors over, but there's a necessity because it's such a big marketplace.
Yeah. It's where the readers are, just by the sheer numbers. And I mean, Barnes & Noble tried. They didn't really get the ebook community. Kobo tried. There's some there. I think, was it Spotify recently? One of the other like audio companies was going to make a real run at like
I think, do they e-books. Have Audible? Who owns Audible? No, though, that's Amazon.
It's still Amazon. Not Spotify. It's somewhere.
I know
was,
what you're talking about. Someone did. Yeah, someone
maybe
bought
it was
something.
Kobo, after all. I don't know. Someone was going to make a run for it, but you have to have the readers first in order to attract the writers. Like, I'm not going to put myself in your exclusive program and, you know, advertise to an audience of five people, three of them who think sex scenes are disgusting.
Right. Exactly.
So, okay, Amazon, I think, is still where the readers are, especially in romance, especially in erotica. I don't know if you're familiar with the Kindle Unlimited program.
I believe that that sounds like a thing that a marketing department came up with. Yes.
So for however many dollars it's up to a month, 10, 12, probably more because Amazon, whatever books are in the Kindle Unlimited program, if you have purchased that subscription, you can read them for free. I do the finger quotes because, you know, you always have the pedantic person out there. It's not really for free. You already paid the subscription. Shut up. It doesn't fit in a tweet. You know what I meant. So you get to Kindle Unlimited and you can read all these books sort of for free. Mm-hmm. And again, if you're the type of person who's just ripping through erotica books at the speed of light, hey, that is definitely the program you want to sign up for. Mm. On the flip side, for authors, pros and cons, as with everything. Like, for example, a new reader may be more willing to take a chance on you if you're on Kindle Unlimited and mentally they don't feel like they're expending more money to read a book on, you know, written by someone that they've never heard of before, but hey, it looks interesting, why not give it a shot? The flip side of it is, for whatever reason, and again, it's Amazon, so we're never going to know, the amount you get paid for every page read fluctuates.
It's per page.
It's per page. Oh. And then, of course, the first time counts. So say if you read a book and you love it and you want to read it again and again and again and again in Kindle Unlimited, no, they're only getting paid for the first time through.
Okay.
Of course. It's kind, and again, I don't have numbers in front of me, and someone I'm sure will find me on the internet to tell me how wrong I am if I'm misspeaking, and I might, you know, pretend to care for 5 seconds. Over time, I believe it has been going down and down. So again, it's, you sort of have to do the business calculations, which is not something any of us artistic types want to do. It's like, do I want to cast a wider net and get more readers and make less money per reader? Or do I want to not be Amazon exclusive? Do I want to sell on other sites? And even if I'm making more per book or per someone reading the book, it might be fewer people reading it. And there's not really a good answer yet.
Do you, but is there an answer you want an end user to be considering when they're like, someone's listening right now, and I get this a lot for, I don't know if it's my type of listener, just type of person who listens to podcasts, but they do try to be mindful. Mm-hmm. And so if someone's saying, hey, I want to buy your book, tell me the best way to get your book. Yes. How do they do that?
Yes, I have gotten those messages a few times too, for which I am thankful. Kindle Unlimited is always going to be at the bottom of the list. I make, it's something like, it's a fraction of a cent per page.
Right.
Like, I was joking around with my writing friends the other day. When I say joking around, there were laughing and crying emojis in these messages. Yeah. Where I had something like, I think it was, I had 250 page reads on my newest book before noon on a Saturday, which is good. And then that translated to less than a dollar. Feels so good. Good about my life choices right now.
They don't just buy the book. Oh, because it's the unlimited. Okay,
but you still can't, like, even though it's on Kindle, you don't have to read it through Kindle Unlimited. You can buy the Kindle version for whatever 99 I sent it to.
So Unlimited is the bottom tier.
For royalties,
what's the next best way to read it?
I'm trying to remember off the top of my head if I get more for an ebook royalty or a paperback royalty. Okay. I know they're close and it might depend on the book. Because also, and this is what, my accountant loved me so much this year. He didn't realize that like every book costs a different amount to print. Because, you know, it depends
different
on, you know,
pages and
right, the number of pages, you know, the pretty graphics that you put at the beginning of other chapters and everything. Yeah. So, I mean, I knew how much I spent on paperbacks to resell, but he wanted a breakdown of how much I spent, how much I had left over, and what each one costs. I'm like, oh, I'm going to need to get back to you on that. Mm. Like, well, why? Don't you just know how much it is? No, because I have like 7 different paperbacks, and this one cost $249 to print, and this one cost $217 to print, and this one cost $230. I do not know that off the top of my head. I'm like, I can get it for you, but it's not happening as we're sitting at this desk right now. Mm-hmm. So the best is always selling direct. That has the biggest profit margins, selling direct.
Right.
And then so the buying the Kindle copy outright or the paperback version is somewhere in the middle.
And Thea, you have a new book out. Why don't you tell us a little bit, like, what's the name, what's it about? And then we're going to hear a little reading.
All right, my latest book is called The Hummingbird and the Hawk, and it's about two attorneys, one older man, one younger woman who just joined his firm. Obviously, it's lust at first sight. As soon as he meets her, he wants to bone her. All right, let's have a little snippet, but I'll try not to...
What are the names of the characters involved?
Oh,
what do we need to know before going? I don't want to jump into a movie in the middle. I can't start a porno in the middle. Like, I need to know, like, why is she banging
Some
the
people
pizza
can.
Guy? Is she unsatisfied in her marriage? Mm. Did she like know him growing up and it's a little creepy? What's the motivation?
Okay, we have older lawyer Gavin and younger lawyer Olivia. So, like I said, he meets her, he seduces her. He thinks he's the dominant one, that he's the one in control, but he's not. You got to watch out for those younger women, right? All right. Did I set this up enough? Yeah. I mean, do you know where this is going?
Other than the younger woman part, just because like I tend to avoid them, but like, yes, yeah. Big fan. Okay.
Well, not that. I mean, she graduated from law school. She's not like 18. All right. You probably know where this is going, but you know, it was the only excerpt I could pick for today. So from The Hummingbird and the Hawk. Similar to the previous night, he lay on his stomach, arranging a pillow beneath his head. He sensed movement behind him, but closed his eyes, trying to recall the intensity of their prior encounter. Olivia settled between his legs, and he heard the click of a bottle opening. One slickened finger teased at him, starting at his lower back and tracing a long line toward the sensitive spot behind his scrotum. Is this the foreshadowing that we were talking
about? I think I know where it's going.
Okay. He drew in a sharp breath when she cupped his balls, yet remained in place. After massaging the delicate spheres for another moment, she retraced her earlier path, brushing her fingertip across his tight hole. A low groan rumbled in his throat as she circled it with faint pressure, hovering just outside the edge. Little by little, she pressed deeper inside, her finger gliding past any resistance at the rim of his ass. His hips jerked forward, increasing the friction on his swollen cock, but there was no escaping the powerful sensations. She worked another finger into him, thrusting back and forth in a slow, steady rhythm. Gavin's breath came in shallow gasps as he struggled not to squirm too much beneath her. Every movement sent a pulse through his trapped erection, and he was torn between wanting to avoid further stimulation of it and giving in to his primal urges. Olivia paused, her fingers burrowed inside him. "Do you think you're ready for more?" she asked softly. He clenched the pillow and choked out a brief answer. "Mm-hmm." She didn't move. "Tell me what you want." Turning his head, he groaned into the crook of his arm. "Say it." Her fingers curved downward, igniting a fresh wave of pleasure. "Say the words, Gavin." The firestorm coursing through his body made it difficult to think clearly. Part of him hated giving in to her, but his consuming hunger overrode any lingering concerns. She was in complete control. I want you to fuck me. With her free hand, she patted his side. Of course I will. We still going? You know there's a dildo coming up, right? We're aware of the fact that there's a dildo.
I think we understand that there are implements that are about to be involved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave it up to you.
Fantastic. Well, you're going to have to get the book, people.
There you go. Know. I will edge you for this. I'm not going to talk about dildos here then.
Well, Thea, where can people go to find you, follow you, to check you out at a convention or to buy direct or just to be like, I want to follow some more smut?
Most of my books are Amazon exclusives as of right now, because again, that's where the readers are. My website does have all pertinent information in one place. It just doesn't look beautiful right now. TheaLandon.com. And again, that's TheaLandon.com. I try to maintain a presence on most of the common socials. Twitter is a big
one. That's how I found you.
Exactly.
Found you on we connected on the Twitter.
Yes, we're not calling it X, by the way. We're just going to keep calling it Twitter.
I only dead name tech companies.
That's fair.
When Amazon changes the name, it's still going to be Amazon.
It will be Amazon forever.
Yeah. but yeah, you're on Twitter and
I'm
the
on
places
Twitter
at...
all the time. Yeah, still at Thea Landon.
Okay.
I think it's Thea Landon everywhere except for Instagram because that's another technological overlord, we could say fuck that guy. Okay. For whatever reason, Instagram made me be Thea.Landon, and that dot really does piss me off a little bit.
Check the show notes for like all relevant links you need to get to her. But Thea, thanks for coming meeting up in my
thanks
mom's
for having
basement.
Me. This was so much fun.
Yes, it was great. It's nice to get to know you. And and thanks again for sharing the shirt. why don't you go ahead and say goodbye to everybody.
All right. Hope you enjoyed listening. Enjoy the rest of your day, evening, late night, whatever the case may be.
Oh, wait, I did forget the last because I'm trying to make I've decided there's a new there's a final question that I've just decided to throw out there.
Okay.
You can expound or you can keep the simple yes, no.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make this can be like this can you can apply this just to the erotica or to your life. But 69ing. Yeah.
You've met me. You see how short I am. It usually doesn't work out well.
The best place to discuss this week's show is in the episode discussion channel in the Champagne Room, our super free, super fun, super sex positive Discord server. You can also email me your comments, your questions, your criticisms of this week's episode, or really any episode or, about my face to manwhorepod@gmail.com. Head on over to manwhorepod.com for all your Manwhore podcast needs. Get some merch. Keep an eye out for my upcoming stand-up comedy dates and more. And like I said earlier, you can now enjoy ad-free episodes of the Manwhore podcast on Patreon for just $3 a month. And at the $5 tier, you'll also gain access to over 300 bonus episodes. Become a member today, support the pod you love. My rent is due soon at patreon.com/manwhorepodcast. That's Patreon, patreon.com/manwhorepodcast. And just like that, I was a near celibate monk and now quickly, briefly overrun enough that I feel like my romantic sexual landscape is sort of settling down in front of me, and I understand the what's and the who's that are going on at this moment that I want to keep going on in this moment. And all of a sudden it feels like 2018, 2019 Billy Presida again. Oh, I feel so back. Dungeon me, Daddy Bezos, and stay slutty.